Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, UK Health Radio, and Populate Electronic Medical Records. We've got a great doubleheader. Jeff Yawn, he's the general manager of the 1921 established Trade Home Shoes, is going to be joining me along with returning Dr. Tony Liazzo, sports medicine primary care specialist. Then the sports doctor's in with some Dr. Bob wisdom, your emails. Jeff Yawn, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. I'm glad to be part of the show.
Jeff, give us some background on yourself and Trade Home Shoes.
Well, it goes back a ways. In 1995, I was referred to a shoe store. I was looking for management coming out of restaurant field. I thought it was my passion, but I changed my mind. It was way too many hours for the money I was making, and I was referred to Trade Home Shoes, and you know what I thought was going to be just another job turned into a lifelong career. 29 years later, still running with them.
Give us some background on Trade Home Shoes. I know they've got multiple locations. Give us some background on their founder and some info on them.
So it was originally founded back in 1921 by a single person, Al Main. And he ran it for, you know, it was 50 years or so, and then passed it on down to Harold Smith and Al Main's, and they ran it for, you know, for like a small field company, sit and fit, kept it within the company when they sold, and then come 2004, they wanted to sell. They were ready to retire. They were in their 80s, and they did not want to sell outside the organization, so they kept it within the organization and had several, you know, I think it was seven people buy the company from these two. And as of the last 10 years, it became employee-owned. So it's definitely a family-oriented company. We want to make sure that the culture's there and, you know, customer service is number one.
You know, it's interesting. In podiatry and on the sports doctor, I rant and rave all the time. That's probably 30 to 40% of the population isn't even fit properly with the shoes that they wear. So many times it becomes very, very important to have an establishment where you can really count on the expertise involving all of these different questions. Is the trade more variety between sports shoes, dress shoes, children's shoes, et cetera, Jeff?
Yes, sir. It's a family shoe store, so we can cater to babies all the way up to, you know, athletes and you know, work shoes.
And again, the importance of being fit properly. I probably had New Balance and the Chicago-based Mirabelli shoes. Gosh, were supporters of the Sports Doctor over the years. Again, and made such a big deal out of the family-owned establishment and the fact and the importance of educating, you know, the population, again, for what becomes so important in any area of sports, you know, which is the, you know, what's the best shoe for your son or daughter's foot type, or for you, or for your parents? And, you know, what are some of the different varieties that make sense? And so you're dealing with all ages.
All ages, yep, definitely.
You know, you got a great title there, a sit and fit company. I've never heard that particular term. I guess it's self-explanatory, but give us some flavor of the sit and fit, Jeff.
So starting in the, you know, in the early 1900s, when you went to a shoe store, it was an experience. It was, you went in for a purpose. There was usually a local juice store, and people would come in, sit down without even, you might get a greeting, but they'd plop in the chair, put their foot up on the measure, and they say, I need new work shoes or I need dress shoes. And it became an experience, which was nice. Not only did you get that professional fitting, but you became, you know, a friend of the customer in the community. And I liken it to like a barbershop. If you go to the same barber, you kind of feel like you have a connection, like a friendship. And that's one of the things that we take pride in, is we're not just a shoe store. We're part of the community, and we want people to feel important when they shop at Trade Home Shoes.
Do you guys take part in any of the community's activities, whether it's walks for one situation or another, or different runs or other types of activities regarding or the sports teams or the park districts? Are you involved with all those groups when you can?
Our company is involved, yes, but as of late, Trade Home started an organization, because our company used to be called Trade at Home. I didn't mention that in the beginning. Back when people would order through Sears and Penny's catalogs, we wanted to keep trading within the local community. So, excuse me, we would provide services and goods for our local community. It then traded, or then the name went to Trade Home instead of Trade at Home. But when we hit our 100-year anniversary, we wanted to start a new program to give back to the community, since they supported us for 100 years. So we have a Century brand socks and Century brand care products. For the socks, every pack of socks you purchase, we donate a pair to a local organization. And when we get 100 packs of socks, we donate them to a local charity, and then the next 100 pair we donate to another charity. And we like to take suggestions, because at some point we're going to run through the charities in the community. The second give back, we want to spread the love.
Well, you check it out. I have a major editorial article coming out in Lower Extremity Review in the next month or so called Socks Matter, where we're making a very big deal about how important socks are. You know, we spent forever paying big attention to shoes. So I'll have to turn you guys on to the article once it comes out. So, yeah, the community involvement is very, very important. You know, in podiatry over the years, again, with the importance of having people that were in the best shoe for their particular foot mechanics. Somebody might have flat feet, be overpronated. Somebody might have high arches. Somebody might have a history of problems, et cetera. So we always relied podiatry with being able to count on, and walking running shoe stores became really the place to go, unless you could find an organization like yours where you had these kinds of traditions and you paid the same kind of attention, again, to proper foot, you know, mechanics, as well as recommendations for whether it's for parents with their son or daughter picking the right shoe for their particular sport. Well, you got those weekend warriors coming through, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the website for the stores and their locations, Jeff?
Just be under tradehome.com.
Okay.
And it'll
now, I know
it'll
you have some
up.
Stores. You guys have some stores in the Chicago area. Are you based out of Tosa in Wisconsin?
No, we're based out of Cottage Grove, Minnesota now.
Okay.
But I met your son in Wauwatosa, which was interesting.
Yes. Well, Global Schoolwear is one of our big supporters in school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. And it's interesting, you know, socks are part of their apparel. So is the right shoes. And so, you know, the whole school uniform world, which has exploded over the past couple of decades in popularity. So it wouldn't be surprising that you would be able to, you know, run into each other. What's your experience, Jeff, in the important relationships, for example, with podiatry regarding the whole world of a shoe store?
Can you say that again? Just rephrase it.
Your relationship with, it could be the pediatric community or podiatry, the ability to refer foot problems to people that you can count on in your communities.
Oh, we have a great group of people that we do work with, even coming down to prosthetics. Well, you know, obviously people are sent to our way, and we definitely want to send people to the professionals when it's necessary. So, yeah, we love working with the podiatrists, even massage therapists and chiropractors. You know, it's our best interest is the customer and what their needs are and what's going to benefit them.
Yes, you know, when we talk about the importance on a sports doctor where there's a tremendous emphasis for decades in youth sports, it's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, everybody, in capital letters, in youth sports overuse injuries and problems. So many times, again, we want to make sure when we're talking about not only the proper shoe, but we make a big deal out of strengthening the feet and ankles and paying big attention to that whole area, regardless of what sport your son or daughter plays, whether they're a tennis player or a soccer player or a cross-country runner, the importance of strengthening those feet and ankles, and including in some areas, you know, over-the-counter inserts we count on. They're not prescription orthotics, which is my world, but they're usually in the same direction, and we count on stores like yours to be able to pay attention to over-the-counter inserts when they're indicated. Wouldn't you say, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's definitely a benefit for a lot of people that are maybe dealing with some, you know, foot strains and stresses and just the proper alignment.
Yeah, well, that's the key word. You see, parents many times or coaches would say, Dr. Bob, does my son or daughter or athlete need orthotics? I said, let's talk whether they benefit. So optimum alignment, proper alignment is a very big deal, whether we're dealing with a 10-year-old figure skater or an 80-year-old cross-country runner. And this is, again, where we count on the retail organizations like yours to, again, be part of the education team when it comes to making these kinds of decisions and having different options, you know, for flip-flops, where now there's, you know, a decent amount of slip-ons, which can be supportive.
Correct. Yep. You know, it's interesting when we measure people up on our scanner, especially athletes will just ask, are you dealing with any strains, stresses in your feet, knees, or hips? And I'd say probably 50% of the time the athlete's dealing with heel pain or shin splints or something to where we can assess their scan and figure out maybe why they're experiencing that, which leads
to that.
Yeah,
you definitely can participate, and you just made a major point, Jeff, when you said their feet, their ankles, their knees, their hips, their back. The feet affect all other areas of the body. As a matter of fact, on the sports doctor, we've been talking about for decades, any chronic lower extremity problem is going to be foot-related. Might not be foot-caused, feet might not hurt, but again, getting that feedback regarding alignment and where it fits in becomes a very important factor. The 80% of persistent shin splints are foot-related or excessive pronation-related. And many times this is missed. This is why when my chiropractic guests, they'll usually sing the song, you know, the back bones connected to the hip bones, connected to the knee bone, and I'm singing the song, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone. And then we try to meet in the middle many times. And again, that's a very important point, posture-wise, so related many times to your proper shoes. Have you found the same kind of crazy stat, Jeff, where maybe such a percentage of people are not fit properly? You know, post-pregnant women are a great example.
Yeah, it's very true. It's, people think that their feet don't change, and they just... I have a story. I had a guy come in once. He said he's a 9.5 triple E, and I'm like, can I just measure your foot? He was an 11.5 narrow, and he just thought he was the same size since high school. And I'm like, you know, and I put on a shoe. He never can find shoes. He goes, these feel amazing. What size are they? And I said, if I tell you, you're probably not going to want to buy them. And I told him, I said, this is what you measured. He was in shock. He couldn't believe it. He was so happy when he left.
Do you guys carry all the major brands regarding the sports shoes, the walking shoes, the running shoes, and specialty shoes, let's say tennis or soccer, et cetera? What kind of variety do you guys deal with in the world of youth sports?
We carry the majority of everything except cleats. So you know, the court shoes, the basketball shoes, the running shoes, but the cleats.
Yeah, the cross trainers.
We tried the cleats, but it just didn't. It's not our specialty, so we try to stick with the athletic shoes.
Yes, as a matter of fact, cleats is one of the biggest problems we see in youth foot problems, especially heel problems, young soccer players with that large growth center in the heel with a cluster of cleats right underneath it. So in a way, I would much rather recommend for parents that their children play in a multi-nub all-purpose shoe than anything specific with cleat-wise. Even the baseball cleats, again, right under the ball of the foot sometimes are causing problems. I'm sure you deal with a lot of seniors also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you know, for the people that don't shop with us regularly don't know that we're educated and we can help them with their foot ailments. So, again, we'll ask, are you dealing with any, you know, pain and stress in your feet, knees, or hips? And it usually leads into something is hurting to where we can help them.
Yes. I knew the time would fly by with you, Jeffrey. Give me the website again. People could find out about the stores and their locations.
If you go on tradehome.com, it'll pop right up and you can hit store locator.
Tradehome.com. Jeff Yuan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great information. And hold on, Jeff. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome back one of our fave guests, Dr. Tony Liazzo, sports medicine primary care specialist. Dr. Tony, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Tony, give us some background on yourself in the world of sports medicine, youth sports, and your practice.
Yeah, I've been doing sports for over 20 years, both from the preschool age all the way up to the Olympic level, and also a lot of musculoskeletal medicine in my practice currently with Northwestern. I've been there for about 7 years, moving and grooving and helping everybody from the weekend warriors to people with arthritis to concussion management.
You know, the important role of primary care doctor involving sports medicine also has really been something. I think you've been a big part of that kind of exposure over the years regarding that the quarterback, for example, in all aspects, whether it's the nutrition side, the physical side, the mental side, that's always made a big deal to you, isn't it?
It really has. Being in primary care family medicine, where I'm able to take care of basically patients of all ages, you know, cradle to grave, if you will, and being able to be there on the sidelines with my patients, with their athletes, or even just as my patients get older and they get more arthritic, and what can I do to help alleviate some of their pain, you know, whether it's with physical therapy, whether it's good nutrition, certain types of injections for cartilage building, and even, you know, dabbling a little bit in the world of regenerative medicine now.
Hey, man, the biomechanics, plus the sports dad. You were sports dad with your kids so involved with sports. And my gosh, we've had orthotics in all your shoes for Moon. You know, the DO specialty, I remember back with the Bears and the original doctor osteopathic physicians, and what they brought to the table besides MD. Talk a little bit about the DO specialty, Tony, and how it fits in.
I think it fits in really well because we were taught from day one that the body functions as a unit. There's no carved out pieces. And anything that we can do to help the body heal itself to remain in its top physical performance is integral. And the spine and the extremities, the musculoskeletal system in general, is so intricate and so tied into that because you really can't do anything without moving and, you know, a muscle or moving your spine or maintaining your mobility, your flexibility, your core strength, your balance.
Well, you guys are hands-on. You know, with the general MD, the general MD population sometimes was pills, surgery, or injections. And the chiropractic profession, which was really, really hands-on in so many ways, but it was like the DO was a blend in between where you had all of those different skills where you also could prescribe medicine or do any of these other particular specialties. I always felt that's what set DOs apart.
Well, and just a more intricate knowledge of the fundamentals of the biochemistry, the physiology, all of that, of how it all interacts, whether we're talking about an upset stomach or an asthmatic, you know, there's always an interconnection. And the osteopathic profession has just dug so deeply into those interconnections that I think it's just one more step that I can add to helping my patients in general.
And, you know, the world of youth sports that you and I have talked about so many different times on the Sports Doctor over the years, give or take a few weeks, the tremendous challenges, you know, again, it's one of the reasons why I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, everybody, in capital letters, of youth sports, overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. Now, we've been paying a lot of new attention. You've been a big part of it, of the importance of, hey, it's supposed to be fun for these kids in all these different areas, but the pressure in the world of youth sports continues to really increase in so many ways. It's a big issue, isn't it?
It absolutely is, because kids don't have the opportunity to play multiple sports anymore. You know, it used to be, hey, I played football in the fall and I played baseball in the spring. Now these sports are so dedicated to year-round. You've got your high school teams. You've got your travel teams. When they're not doing those, they're taking private lessons. And the kids are getting burned out. They need to be able to play multiple sports and play it for the enjoyment. And, you know, you and I have talked many times about the parents. They've got to back off and not try to relive their youth through their kids. Hey, be mom and dad, be the rah-rah cheering team on the side. But if your child comes to you and says, I'm tired, I don't want to do it, don't overpressure them. You know, don't get them into these times where they feel like they have to perform, because they're just going to get hurt.
You know, it's interesting. You know, what the late, great Jim Vickery was a colleague of mine on the radio in the 90s, the years he was a sports psychologist, although he didn't use the word psychology back then, whether he was working with Northwestern University or the White Sox, because the word psychology scared everybody away. so many ways, but he had a couple of bullet points for the sports parents. He said, number one, don't be a critic. Stop analyzing your son or daughter in the car on the way home. Number two, right. be a good listener. But when you're in the middle, again, with the families, the coaches, I got to ask you, Dr. Tony, you know, how's your sports psychology skills, my friend?
it's always a give and take, you know, because athletes are very interesting. They want to push themselves to the breaking point where most people, we've got to push them to do something. So just having that reverse psychology to, you know, try and hold them back from doing too much or hurting themselves because they love what they do. And then, you know, sometimes you just have to be gentle with the parents. Sometimes not so gentle. I had a mom that brought their child in to see me not too long ago because the child was a track runner and was having chest pain when they ran, and they were really upset that I wouldn't clear the child until we got a cardiac workup. I'm like, well, if you're telling me he's got chest pain when he runs, and that's what his sport's all about. So sometimes it's just having those really hard conversations with the parents to temper them a little bit, to be like, let's use common sense. These are not pro athletes here.
And we all know the nightmares with painkillers and other kinds of medications that are so overused. You know, we would be astounded many times by how many of these young boys and girls are living on the ibuprofens, the Advils, et cetera. You know, Dr. Wild, don't you understand? She's got a meet next week. Her knees are killing her. And, you know, these kinds of pressures, it's become a big problem, which is why the educational side is so important, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And the more that we can advocate, the better we're going to be. Because even though people think that these medications are benign because you can buy them over the counter, well, they're benign in short periods, but if you're taking them on a regular basis, especially with a child whose body is still growing and developing, we're leaving them open for nothing but problems later. And we're instilling this, you have to drive, you have to be better, you have to push through the pain, when pain sometimes is your body telling you you're pushing too hard.
You know, the world of nutrition, you mentioned, you know, the area of regenerative medicine, some of these areas that have really become so integrally involved in the overall sports medicine world have really been some important additions, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Because we're in a hustle and bustle society where it's easier to eat out, easier and many times cheaper to eat fast food than it is to eat healthy. And what we put in is what we get out. And if we're training as hard as some of these athletes are, they need to give themselves a nutrition so that their body can regenerate and not just continuously break down. And I think it's been a key that's been missed for so long.
And how do you find the challenge of supplements where it's everywhere you look in so many different areas? And again, that importance of education, especially when we've got these pressure on some of these kids as we turn around, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. It's astounding to take a look at the growth of athletic prowess and the, for instance, the young female athlete. It's amazing. And, you know, the pressures of overuse.
Absolutely. Yeah, I tell most of my patients, if you take a good multivitamin, and it doesn't have to be a GNC brand. You know, men, women's one a day, A to zinc type of vitamin, because our foods are so overprocessed in our country. And aside from that, you really don't need a lot of these other supplements. There's not much good data out there aside from protein if you're really heavily into bodybuilding, muscle development. You really don't, there's not been a lot of good data out there that says money of this other stuff works. So why throw your money away on things that we don't know will absolutely benefit you?
You know, it's interesting. Again, today, with all the attention to so many of these areas like we're talking about, when it comes to the obesity crisis and the childhood obesity crisis, I mean, we're still treading water at best, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, COVID, we've had this conversation just last year, I think. You know, COVID didn't do us any favors. You know, when kids can't get outside and play and exercise and just be kids, our society's gotten conditioned to, you come home, you sit in front of a screen, whether you're watching TV or playing games, and then during COVID, everything was online and on screen, that nobody's moving anymore. And sedentary lifestyles are what are causing huge problems in our societies, and that's something we don't want to entertain from day one with our children. So just forcing them sometimes to go outside and play will take care of a lot of that.
And, you know, it's an amazing challenge. Again, it seems wherever around the world I have guests on, whatever their vocation, the number one topics, again, is mental health. And this, again, whether it was the Simone Biles and the Michael Phelps who were able to be honest enough to include their own challenges and concerns, and finally bring that to tremendous attention, because this has been the mental health is such a big deal in any of the aspects of the society, in or out of sports.
Absolutely. And, you know, the isolationism, especially with some of these elite athletes, or, you know, not even athletes, but some, you know, some people just are such a type A personality that drive is so heavy to be the best that it tends to isolate them a little bit. And, you know, family dynamics, having parents have the ability to talk with their children, or adults just having good social networks to have outlets when things go astray. I think not having that is where we're seeing more depression, more anxiety, less ability for people to cope with what you and I would normally consider day-to-day stresses of simply being alive. So, again, COVID didn't help us with isolating us even further. So I think just generating good, solid relationships with your families, with your friends, with your children will go a long way to help reduce some of this mental health crisis.
Well, I think also I've been on that team as you, where we've spent decades in bringing attention to these challenges of youth sports, as it's become such a gigantic business in so many different areas, travel teams and club teams and financial pressures and all of these different situations. And everybody in sports medicine, like you just mentioned, of course, agrees. We want these kids to play different sports, use different parts of the body, have different experiences. And that's great, unless you're a ballet dancer or a figure skater or a gymnast.
Right.
So there's a chapter in my book, I call it Prodigy Sports, where we understand, you know, I have 10-year-olds that just want to figure skate 10 days a week. So this is a population that also needs special attention, you know, in the physical therapy, the personal training world, to try to get these kids on some sort of program to, you know, prevent, you know, some of these problems. As, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, right? All those years ago, there was one guy in the major leagues threw 95 miles an hour. Now there's 10 guys on every team. It's really astounding how the bigger, faster, stronger has brought a whole new series of challenges. You pay big attention to the concussion world also, don't you?
I do. Because it's so evolving. And, you know,
I want to talk to you more about it, Tony. I realize we've got a break coming up, but I want to talk to you all about this tremendous attention you've been paying. Dr. Tony Liazzo, sports medicine primary care physician. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are having a great discussion here with one of our fave guests, primary care sports medicine specialist, Dr. Tony Liazzo. Right before the break, I was mentioning how you've always paid big attention, and I know you still do, to
to the incredibly increasing importance of the world of concussions. We've made a lot of progress from the days when they said, hey, how many fingers? Get back in the game. But give us some of your feedback, Tony, on this incredibly important area in all sports.
Right. You know, and it's great. You know, finally, once it hit the main screen with the NFL, it finally, people were starting to listen to what my colleagues and I had been harping on for years, is that, you know, concussions are not simply, oh, I got my bell rung, I'm a little dizzy, go back in and you'll be fine. You know, we're seeing the effects of what people's experience with multiple concussions, the depression, the anxiety, you know, ultimately some people even losing their lives because of the damage that was done to the brain through these multiple concussions. And while the equipment's getting better, we need to have more education that, you know, you need to be pulled out of the game.
Yeah, the NFL ducked it. You know, just in the past few weeks, you had the great Brett Favre come out, just was diagnosed with Parkinson's, let alone the Lou Gehrig's disease and some of these other things. The National Football League, love them as we do, ducked it. They hid it. They played games with it. My great late patient, Duerson, from the Bears, all those years and those tragedies in his particular life. So the new attention, I guess, because of the like the National Football League, and you know, you got this latest in the news with, you know, Miami Dolphins with the Tua with his third concussion. So and the science is still, you know, we've had a lot of experts on. There's been a lot of excitement, Tony, with hyperbaric oxygen. I've had some different specialists on, and the success they're getting in that area. But this is a real evolving area of attention, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, there's been some exciting developments with functional MRI helping us determine, hey, what part of the brain was really impacted? Because, as you know, Bob, concussions are chemical changes in the brain. There's no physical damage that I can point to on an image and say, oh, there's where it happened. But the functional MRIs that show how the brain is metabolizing has really helped us delineate where these problems are occurring. But I think first and foremost, and by far the biggest thing, is just the courage that the athletic trainers are getting and the team physicians are getting to stand up to the coaches and say, no, this player has to come out. This player has to have time to recover, that it's not just a simple, hey, they'll sit them for 2 days and they'll be better. There's protocols that we have to follow.
Sometimes it was funny. The great, great Brian Urlacher had, you know, a couple of fun comments on the sidelines. He said, you know, if I got my bell rung or whatever, I came to the sidelines, I'd tell them my foot hurts. So I wouldn't get pulled. But you had those kinds of pressures. And in youth sports also, that's been a big problem, is, you know, where these kids don't want to admit maybe what they're dealing with, which is why Dr. Vickery would say, besides being sports parents, not being critics, he'd say, be a good listener. Talk to your kids how that's going. Do you find that coaches, the pediatric community, et cetera, are really paying a lot more attention to these protocols?
They are. They're very much more focused and in tune and, you know, are looking for subtle changes, you know, because you're right. An athlete that loves what they're doing is not always going to come out off the field and tell you exactly what you need to hear. They're going to make up reasons why I was acting like this or like that. But if you can watch how they're playing, are they staggering? Are they in line with the plays? Do they know what's going on? That can give you clues as well.
Well, these psychologists, Doc, I've had these days. Don Brady, a psychologist in the school system in the world of sports for years, would talk about the amazing amount of behavioral sleep concerns, other kinds of concerns with some of these kids with these after effects that were much more prevalent than any of us suspected.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times, parents and, you know, even myself included, would chalk sleep changes up to they're nervous or, you know, they're upset because they had an injury during a game, but not really understanding that the body is failing to heal itself properly and it's manifesting itself in sleep disturbance because we heal when we sleep. So if our sleep is off, we're not healing, and we've really got to be tuned into that.
And it seems that, again, the coaching community as well as the school communities have become much more aware, like you said, you know, from the athletic trainers on to everybody else involved, to be able to pay attention and take this stuff seriously, involving not being able to return. You know, one of my favorite guests from Finland, the Metacortex Corporation, Adrian Harrell, they were coming up with a saliva test on the sidelines to be able to tell right away. There is a lot more technology involving identifying these problems now in all areas of youth sports, isn't there, Tony?
There is. That saliva test is interesting. I'll be really excited when that gets FDA approved. It's probably one of the first objective tests that will be out there for us to be able to do at, you know, point of care right there on the sidelines.
What about some of the sensors in the helmets that I've had also some guests on that have had that, you know, trying to pick up this micro trauma before it becomes more of a problem? Has there been any impressive success with those systems?
There's a lot of great research coming out of University of Texas right now where they've been using gyroscopic microsensors in the helmets to determine forces, torquing, you know, because it's not always just that direct linear force, but sometimes the torque that the head and neck take. And, you know, similar to where we always talk about orthotics for your shoes, different types of mouth guards to help with force diminishment across the jaw and things like that. So there's a lot of really interesting research going on right now to determine how can we improve the equipment. Are there novel approaches to concussions? And
of course, we have, right? You know, Dr. Tony, we have the reality, again, that I talk about all the time over the years, give or take a few weeks. There is no safe tackle football, period. This is It is what it is. We could put some other games in, whether it happens to be hockey or whatever. And it's interesting with the challenge of trying to pay attention to certain rules. And, you know, we have these great traditions. But I'm excited to see flag football coming of age so that young boys and girls could have fun doing football without the collisions. I think that's a great addition.
It really is. And so they get the team sport, the camaraderie, the joy of the game. You know, I believe personally that if our kids want to play American football, they should play a little bit of rugby first, because those guys know how to tackle better than we do, because they don't wear any equipment. But even so, collision sports in general need to
What are your thoughts age-wise?
Looked at.
What are your thoughts age-wise, Dr. Tony, regarding, again, when my son could participate in football, you know, with all these different leagues? And what are your feelings on those age criteria?
Yeah, I personally think 10 and above, because by age 10, you've got enough development going on. They've got some understanding going on. You know, you look at kids under age 10, and the helmet is so big that their neck can't really support it. They're almost like a bobblehead anyway. But I think the big thing is not even so much the age of the athlete, but the mentality of the coach to really teach these kids the proper way to participate in the sport, so that they don't just throw their bodies out there, lead head first, all these types of things that are just going to cause injury after injury and concussion.
And it's amazing, too, when you think of the, you know, the John Madden tapes, you know, all these different things and all these specials with these incredible hits. And there's no doubt about it, about the excitement side of all of that in so many ways. But as we've watched, again, the evolution of athletes, bigger, faster. Whoever thought you'd see a 6'8" shortstop? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
who hits 58 home runs and some of these other, and runs a 4.40 maybe. It's just unbelievable. I knew the time would fly by with Dr. Liazzo. We always like to get him back, keep up on what's going on in so many different areas. So, Dr. Tony, I really want to thank you for your participation. And, you know, we'll have you back. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob. I look forward to every time I'm on.
Yes, hold on quickly. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In.
UK Health Radio.
The
station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, podiatrist, is your EMR system slowing you down? Upgrade to Populate, the artificial intelligence-powered electronic medical records for podiatry practices. With an easy-to-use interface and simple workflows, you'll spend 40% less time in your EMR while collecting 10% more. Switching to Populate is simple with their top-tier support. Visit PopulateEMR.com today. Start enjoying medicine again. PopulateEMR.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics and a little Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails. Wanted to mention again, the website is back, knock on wood, thesportsdoctorradio.com. thesportsdoctorradio.com. Check it out. Let me know what you think. We got a lot of great stuff regarding the National Fitness Hall of Fame, the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. We're heading to Israel next week. One of their leading sports performance, head injury experts, Dr. Sharir Efrati, will be joining us. His group, we've had experts from his group on before, again, dealing with some of these advances that are being made. We just talked about that with Dr. Liazzo, concussion topic in the areas of traumatic brain injury, as well as other enhanced performance medicine areas that they're dealing with. One of my comrades, matter of fact, one of the Lifetime Achievement Award winners in the National Fitness Hall of Fame, Bill Crawford, will be also joining us next week. Bill's great, still advanced training facility in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, Bill was one of the first Nautilus clubs. We talked about that before, where we also had the same situation with my longtime colleague, Bob Guida, and Sports Fitness Institute. So that'll be a great show coming up next week. I wanted in my Dr. Bob segment to talk a little bit about Pete Rose, who just passed away. One of the great, great baseball players of all time, all the tremendous controversy involving Charlie Hustle, whether he was knocking somebody over in a game that didn't really count at home plate, whether he was diving headfirst into the bag, the lifetime hit champion, and then the gambling in baseball. I really, really felt they should have made room for him. Today, gambling's legal. He never bet on his own team. There were so many different areas of what would make sense regarding Pete Rose. So I want to tip my hat to the great, great, great career that he had. And I don't know, so many records in baseball, most games played, most at bats, most 200 hit seasons. I don't know what else I'm leaving out. Rest in peace, the great Pete Rose. Few emails. Pete says, our hammer toes inherited. My wife's mother had hammer toe and bunion surgery. My wife has some hammer toes, some corns, and our 14-year-old daughter was seeing the same tendency. You know, Pete, your point is a good one. Foot type is often inherited. Gee, you know, he's got flat feet just like his mother or grandmother. Gee, he's got high arches, bow legs like his dad or grandpa, including the bunion deformity or contracted toe, hammer toe deformities. We don't inherit the hammer toes. We inherit the foot mechanics, some of the different motions, some of the alignment concerns very early. This is one of the reasons why when we see these types of family histories, Pete, we pay big attention to shoe selection and orthotics in 2, 3, 4 years old. The earlier, the better. Where we feel, and of course, without a time machine, you wouldn't be able to tell if you're doing x-rays and evaluating a 13, 14-year-old who's been in orthotics since they were 2 or 3, what kind of difference you've made clinically. Because you don't know what would have happened if you didn't do it. What we do know is that subjectively, almost everything improves with proper optimum orthotics, so that you're doing as much as you can mechanically to reduce the kinds of forces like that dislocation of the big toe with the bunion deformity. We don't inherit the bump. We inherit the mechanics that develops that dislocation. So many times we might be adding splints, we might be adding exercises, shoe change, and orthotics to try to slow these changes down. But probably 75% of the time, Pete, foot mechanics, foot type is inherited. Pat said, you know, I've read your book and I paid big attention to the prodigy sports, the youth specialization information. You talk a little bit more about that. Yes, like I discussed with both guests today, specifically with Dr. Liazzo, that we want children to grow up playing multiple sports. We want them using different parts of the body. We want them having different experiences. But there are sports, again, like dance, figure skating, gymnastics, ballet, even tennis and soccer, where we'll see very, very early specialization. So we want to include paying attention to these kids, getting involved with physical therapists, personal trainers, to make sure we're doing the best we can to prevent injury and prevent problems. So the specialization area is a specialty, something that we want to pay special attention to. The time flew by. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Catch you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.